Responding to your question at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey. Hey, Matt Slick. How are you doing? All right. Little music kind of fades out there. There we go. Hey, I hope you all had a great weekend. I did. I went to church and had a good time. And let's see. Anything other than that? No, that's about it. So, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. That'll get you right in. We got nobody waiting right now. Usually at the beginning of the show, there's not anybody, and then it amps up. In the meantime, let me just tell you that we really could use your support. Let me just explain a little bit. This radio show is on 14 stations, and the company that I'm with, I got to tell you something about them, the Truth Network. They're pretty cool, and they're pretty godly. I've talked to the main man a few times, a lot of the guys, who make it possible to work. They're great. And they are, let's just say, how do I say this the right way? They're really bending over backwards to make it possible for me to be on the air. And their desire is to have the kingdom of God expanded and to have, what they say is good biblical theology taught. And so I hope I get to fit that bill and continue to. And so let me just say that it does cost money. They didn't ask me to do this. They had no idea I was going to do this. But in order to keep the show on, we do need your support. So if you'd be so kind as to just go to the CARM website, CARM.org, and just sign up. Last year I asked for $5 a month. We got a little bit in there, and that didn't turn out as well as we'd hoped. So I'm going to start asking for $25, and we're hoping that people would be willing to give $25 a month. It's not very much, but it really does help us a great deal because it enables us to make plans to see who we're going to keep on staff or not. And we have a full-time guy in Turkey and a full-time guy in Brazil and a full-time guy in Colombia. We have a full-time guy in Salt Lake City. I'm full-time. My wife works full-time. She does that stuff I hate doing. That stuff of data entry, which takes hours and hours. There's a lot of people who sign up for schools and donations, and she has to keep records for tax receipts for everybody. And we have hundreds of people who are donating, so it takes a lot of work on a daily basis to keep up with all of that. And she, she's great. She answers calls and she fixes things. She's awesome. So test me free to be able to do a lot of what I can do in the theology. And so one of the guys that says on the network goes, he needs a raise. And boy, I tell you, I do too. And we all need raises, right? So let me just say that they're great guys at the Truth Network, and they've really given me a good deal, a very good deal, and we want to be able to keep on the air. And so I happen to know, how do I say this politely, I happen to know that, they have needs too, financial needs too. Let's just put it that way. And if you want to see me stay on the air and get on even more stations, then what we're asking is that you would consider supporting us. If $25 a month, that would help us a great deal. And if you want to earmark it for the radio, just give us an email, your name, how much you want for the radio show, and that's what we can do. I want to start expanding it, too. Now, the radio show is different than the CARM ministry total in that people who designate money strictly for the radio show, it has to be for the radio show. So it's different than going to the CARM ministry, which pays everybody's salaries and things like that and keeps the lights on and stuff. And also, just to let you know, we have two guys who, if it wasn't for them, the website wouldn't be on the air and the radio show wouldn't be on the air, or website on the net, that is. We have a guy who's a tech wizard, and he hosts the site for free. And he also is putting in, I've heard different numbers, $1 to $200,000 a year worth of security stuff. And he many times doesn't have enough money to feed himself and get a, fix his car. People really believe in this ministry. I'm really surprised. It's humbling. Why would anybody, seriously, I sometimes think about it, why would anybody listen to me? I don't listen to me. I wouldn't listen to me. My wife doesn't listen to me. No, she does. She's good. She actually likes to hear me on the radio. When I hear myself, I don't like it. I don't think I do a very good job. That's just what I think. But, you know, we're often our worst critics. People seem to like what I do, and they like the website. Praise God. Well, the CARM website, so we got 9 million visitors last year. 9 million. And I'm told that we get more attacks than banks do, than the bank websites are trying to hack and get money and get accounts. We get far more attacks, far more, our tech guy says. And so what he does is, and he doesn't even tell me, he says, I only tell you about like 5% of what happens, Matt. That's what he tells me, that we get hacked, we get DOS attacks, we get people trying to get in, destroy the servers, people trying to alter the site, trying to do all kinds of stuff. Largely, it's from countries, entire countries, where Muslims are. Usually, that's who's trying it. And they're trying to get in for various things. But we have some very good security, I'll tell you. We have some very good security. And so we've not had any problem that way. What it's come down to is the issue of just attacks on the servers, trying to bring the site down. And so that's that. We have another guy who helps us out when we're short of funds. And we've got to find a way to get on our own feet. We used to be, 2 years ago, we had plenty of money in the bank and were able to hire people and not willy-nilly, but do all kinds of stuff. It was really great. Now, things are tough. More ministries are doing what CARM is doing. CARM is perhaps the oldest internet-based apologetics ministry on the internet, period. 22 years old. That's really ancient. And there was a time when I was the only one doing anything in the way I was doing it, and that if you type in basically anything, CARM was what came up 1, 2, or 3 on the internet. And now it's not doing so well because other ministries are doing the same thing. Plus, I'm just going to let the need be known. We had a server crash about a year and a half ago, and we've got new servers in that cost $7,000, but we've had a server crash. And what happened was, in the process, the site's mechanics in the software end got broken. And the same tech guy who helps us out spent a lot of time with a specialist getting the site up and running, and to the point where I could even add articles. It was so badly done. And so what we've decided, so badly crashed, and yet it's patched together. And we're on Drupal right now. And what we're going to do is move to WordPress, because WordPress is easier to work with, and we can have basically anybody get in there and fix it. But Drupal is more esoteric, and it's better for a lot of our needs, but we can't get anybody to work on it. So that's why it's not been fixed. And the ones who do want to work on it, who will, they want $60,000, or they start at $25,000 just to take an assessment. It's insane. So we can't get the site fixed, and because of it, we're losing rankings on the web. And where we were 1, 2, or 3 on the number one page, we're now on you know, the first page, second page, third page on some things. It's because of the effect of the site. So what we're trying to do is move to move to WordPress. Well, who's going to do the WordPress? It's the same tech guy who has his own business to run, because we can't afford to hire anybody to do it. And so CARM is being kept together now by duct tape and volunteers and a lot of prayer. And so it's really is kind of amazing that it's still on the web. Seriously, it is, because of the attacks that we get, the servers that crashed, we had to replace the servers and stuff like that. And even the guy, the tech guy, on Christmas was in the emergency room with pneumonia because he was a first responder at 9/11. And so he's fighting various let's just say bad stuff he inhaled then. And so his health has been badly affected. And so we've got people who love the ministry, who really believe in what it stands for. And we're so grateful for that. And that's why it's still on the net at all. And as far as the radio cost goes, we're barely able to afford what we have. We have this much earmarked for what we had before. And that's why we're still on the air, because we've had people who designate money strictly for radio. And that's the only reason we're still on the air. But it's not very much. And they had to compromise with me on how much and stuff in order to get me on the air and keep me on. And that's just how it is. And so the Truth Network is just incredible. They're a great bunch of guys. And I joke around with them on the air before, or off the air beforehand. We joke around about our humility and our greatness and, you know, a bunch of good guys that are there. And so I just want to say, for those of you who are donating, we really do appreciate that. And if you'd be so, you know, so kind as to, well, help us out with, say, $25 a month, that really does help us a great deal. What we need is $10,000 a month coming in, more than what we have. We probably need about 9,400 more now than we did a month or so ago. We're getting it a little bit, but we're going to start asking for larger increments, just a little bit, which isn't very much, so that we can move this ministry forward, get their website redesigned. And with the new website, some of the stuff we want to do is literally develop a network. And we have that going. A network, which is, we can't release yet until the site's ready, but it's going to be inside of WordPress. But this network, we're going to be trying to get on low-level satellite internet so that we can then start having people in various languages start teaching people out in the jungle, and all we got to do is send them a walkie-talkie kind of a device. This is some of the stuff we want to do, and we're dead serious. We want to take other ministries under our wing, under the 501c3 umbrella that we've got, and help them out, and so that they won't have to worry about maintenance of sites, and we'll be able to do that. And in order for anybody to join, they're going to have to pass the theological muster of the site, the requirement of the ministry, so that if anybody is on the CARM network, they're going to be good, and you don't have to worry about listening to anything. I've already got 2,300 radio shows that we can put up, just have running. We've got people from different ministries who have material as well. So we've got enough to keep a whole network audio going 24 hours. In fact, even on video now with these radio shows, we could just keep them going and going and going. And then if we can get other networks joined in, then they can, everybody will, you know, will cross-pollinate, so to speak, and everybody will be blessed. And all of it relates to and is dependent upon whether or not we get the WordPress website up and running. And so just to tell you, it's been a year and a half since the crash. We're still not up and repaired yet because we don't have the funds. And people are just keeping us afloat by patchwork, volunteers, and they're great. But it's really tough. And let me tell you, also, because my wife has some serious medical issues, serious ones, heart surgery stuff, and we have to, you know, make adjustments and things like that. And there's a lot of pressure, a lot of stuff going on in this ministry, the intergalactic headquarters of CARM. And, you know, but I want to say this, praise God, because, you know, he's good. He's the one who's going to come through. He's the one who's going to provide. He does it through his people one way or another. And I know he's going to provide. I'm not worried about it. But then again, I'm a sinner. I worry about it when I shouldn't. But I just want to let people know God's in control, and we're looking to him. And as he is in my life, he's also in yours. May the Lord bless you. Now, there you go. Perfect time. We've got a break. We'll be right back. We have no callers. Give me a call, folks. 877-207-2276. Let's talk.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Jesus told us everything depends on our loving him and loving our neighbors as ourselves, being as concerned for their redemption as for our own, and knowing that this is the one thing that changes everything. He added his promise of Romans 8:28 to make everything in your life work together for good when you do that. In these 60 seconds we have here, I can tell you how to do all the things you're supposed to do automatically, like living a righteous life, studying his word, and praying without ceasing. You see, when your priority is to lead everyone under your influence closer to God, living rightly and being in the Word and on your knees every day is automatic. And it's so easy and so much fun. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford. Thank you. Every NPC at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Ready? In Mark chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ asks a question. He said, "What shall profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?"
Dr. Michael Youssef.
The person who trades his soul for all the wealth of the world is a prince of fools. What shall profit a man, asked the Lord Jesus? Because he alone knows that the value of your soul allowed him to be crucified on a crude Roman cross. The value of your soul compelled God the Son to go to Calvary and die in your place and in mine. What shall profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It has to do with choosing to be at the very center of the will of God.
Hear more each day on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? Got a king?
No, bitch, Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. All right. Let's get to Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Great. What do you got, buddy?
I was just wanting to get some clarification on what a reprobate mind is.
A reprobate mind is a mind given over to moral depravity, the things that are not of God, serving the flesh instead of the things of God. That's what it is. Okay?
That sounds like everyday life.
Well, there's a sense in which Christians struggle with their sin. We wouldn't call them reprobate because they are not given over to their own depravity in that sense. In the Reformed camp, reprobation deals with a judgment of God upon them, giving them over, not working on them anymore to convict them of their sin. That's one theory about reprobate mind. But generally, it's someone who's not a Christian. It's someone who's not a Christian. Who does not seek the things of God, is against the things of God. Okay?
I understand that.
Are you a Christian?
Just another. Absolutely.
Okay, well, good. Are you sure? Go ahead.
A hard way. I'll break this down real quick. Somebody else wants to try to get in. Children, Dad was a Hemi Methodist. My mom was Baptist. Then she went through Catholicism. We had to, and she converted to Catholicism. Lost a whole lot of Saturday mornings with Stephen.
Okay.
Lost a lot of Saturday mornings with Stephen.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm sorry, I'm probably breaking up.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. But yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit, but you're breaking up, so it's hard. But did I answer the question about reprobate mind? Is that okay? You good?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. We have another question then, or are we going to move along to the next caller?
No, great question now, and I enjoy your program.
Okay, good. Well, let's see, you're Raleigh, North Carolina, so I hope you continue to listen. Maybe I'll get out there sometime. It'd be great to get out there and do a seminar, and people could check it out if I get out there. It'd be fun.
All right. I'll keep you and your wife in my prayers.
Okay. Sounds good.
And you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, that was Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. Folks, we got one call waiting, and we got four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877 1-800-207-2276. Love to hear from you. Let's get to Grant from Louisiana. Grant, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
By God's grace, doing okay. What do you got?
I just wanted to, you said earlier in January that you would like to hear recommendations on sure. what subjects you should focus on and things like that.
Yeah, let's see what people
and
think.
And mm-hmm. I personally think that you should focus on Roman Catholicism.
Why?
Because
okay.
I don't see that many people focusing on that topic, especially since it's not the most popular one if you want to be a very popular apologist.
Yeah.
And I think that you tackle that topic in a way that the layperson can understand, but yet it's rich.
Good.
And that's what I wanted to tell you.
Well, let me ask you, let's see, you're in a Louisiana area. I'm assuming you're listening on the internet, correct? Not on a radio station? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I find out that there are different radio stations picking us up and I don't know about yet, which I'm just kind of asking. No big deal. But for those who are on the East Coast, where the show is mostly aired, I know that there's a lot of Catholicism out there because that's just how it worked historically. And I'll just say it again, Roman Catholicism is not a true Christian church, and people need to repent of the false doctrines in there. And when I say stuff like that, it's not because I was molested. I wasn't. It's not because I was an ex-Catholic. I never was a Catholic. It's not because some Catholic beat me up. Nothing like that. It has to do with purely theology. The Bible teaches one thing. Roman Catholicism teaches something in contradiction to the scriptures in some very important areas. And so in light of that, I simply speak what the truth is. And the Roman Catholic Church is not a Christian church. And even though they think they're Christian, the things that they do are completely ungodly in a lot of areas. This Mary worship, Mary idolatry, these appearances of Mary, maybe I'll read some of them because I do that every now and then. These things are obviously demonic manifestations, and the Catholic Church says are true. It adds works to salvation and things like that. It's just not a true church. It's a church in appearance only. And then... not even really that great. So it's bad news. And I'm not going to stop saying it until the Catholic Church repents or God takes me home. So that's it. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, man. Okay. Well, God bless.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You too.
Okay. Well, we don't have anybody else waiting on the line, so I'm going to give the phone number out again. I'm going to do is read some quotes from the Marian apparitions, and it'll take me a couple, three, 4 minutes to do. And I will read you official stuff. This is what the Roman Catholic Church says really was an actual appearance of Mary in these quotes. I'm going to read three quotes and then another set of three quotes, and you'll see. So if you want to give, get in line. In the meantime, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And that's the last four digits are CARM, like the website, carm.org. So it's 877-207-CARM. Now, in 1531, Guadalupe, Mexico, there was an appearance of the supposed Virgin Mary to Juan Diego. Now, this is what it says. This is official. This is what the Roman Catholic Church says is really Mary. I'm going to read three of these from these apparitions from 1531 because they were written down. This is KNOW. Know for sure, my dearest, littlest, and youngest son, that I am the perfect and ever virgin Holy Mary. Now, that's the first. Now, she's perfect. No, the Bible never says she's perfect, and nor does the Bible say that she's the ever virgin Holy Mary. It never says that. This is an invention of Roman Catholicism. Mary lost her virginity, Matthew 1:25. Joseph kept her a virgin until the birth of Jesus. What do you think that means? And Luke 1:47, she rejoiced in God, her Savior. Only sinners need saviors. Now, the second quote is this: I am truly your merciful mother, yours and all the people who live united in this land, and of all the other people of different ancestries. Now, check this out, folks. This is what she says here, this apparition. Here it goes. My lovers who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me, here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings. Now, notice what's happening. The apparition points to itself, not Jesus. Now, we got more, and be right back after this break. I'll read them. We'll comment. We'll get to the callers. So stay tuned, folks. Be right back after these messages.
In Africa, 5-year-old Charu has no choice. She and millions like her walk miles a day for dirty water. But together, we can end their walk by providing clean water close by. Instead of spending hours walking to get water that makes them sick, girls can be in a classroom and moms will gain back time to care for their families. Sons and daughters can grow up strong, finally free of sicknesses. It's true. When you just add water, you change a life. Learn more at worldvision.org.
St. Jude continues to advance by increasing cure rates in childhood cancer. And donors are important to us because you get the feeling that you have a team behind you. When it comes to research and advancements, there are some things that only we can do because we have the resources and we have the focus. And so if St. Jude doesn't do it, who will?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Each year, 1 in 4 people 65 and older will experience a fall, and many will be serious. The majority of falls happen at home, so remove things that could make you trip and install handrails to keep you steady. To learn more about the steps you can take to help prevent a fall, please talk to your doctor. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by United Healthcare and AARP Foundation.
Don't let debt keep you down. Protect your career, your family, and your financial future with help from NFCC, a financial advocate who understands the money issues faced by current and former military members. Schedule a confidential financial review with an objective nonprofit NFCC financial counselor. Call us today at 877-404-6322 or visit us at nfcc.org/military. You owe it to yourself.
Get relief now.
What should we learn from the life of R.C. Sproul? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. R.C. Sproul was one of the most influential biblical preachers of the last 50 years. Last month, at the age of 78, he went home to the Lord. R.C., as he was called by many, was a devoted husband and father, a pastor, revered theologian, author, and founder of Ligonier Ministries, the largest Reformed ministry in the world. And yet he still had a common touch with people. He will be remembered for accurately representing God, particularly His holiness, defending the inerrancy of Scripture, and His unwavering stand in the gospel of faith alone in Christ. Let us so be remembered. Hear more about R.C. Sproul at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll discuss how a young earth answers man's oldest problem.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, let me read a little bit more about the quotes from the official Marian apparitions. As I just read, one of these apparitions in 1531 said, those who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me, here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings. Now, the Spirit of God bears witness of Christ. Jesus bore witness of himself. The Father bore witness of himself. The Scriptures bear witness of himself. The prophets bear witness of him. And so this apparition is bearing witness of itself and not Christ. And so that's how you test. It's not of God. It's obviously a demonic apparition. In 1531, a third quote is this. Am I not here? I, who am your mother, are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? So this is obviously a demonic manifestation, because it's not pointing to Christ. It's talking to, about itself and protection. So what the apparition is urging is people to trust in Mary, not Christ, but trust in Mary's protection, Mary's ability, Mary this, Mary that, the apparition. And people who are superstitious and who don't believe the word of God will fall for this lie, and they'll be trapped. So in 1917, in Fatima, Portugal, there were some apparitions, which the Roman Catholic Church says is official. Let me get to them. We got callers filling up, so let me just kind of get to these quickly. So in 1917, this apparition said, which is not Mary, it's a demonic manifestation, but it says this, it's imitating Mary, remember this, are you willing to offer yourselves to God to bear all the sufferings he wants to send you as an act of reparation for the sins by which he's offended and for the conversion of sinners? And notice what's going on. This apparition says that the children's suffering is what makes their sins fixed. Not the cross of Christ, but their suffering. This is false doctrine. A second quote, I will take Jacinta and Francisco shortly, but you will stay here for some time to come. Jesus wants to use you to make me known and loved. He wishes to establish a devotion to my Immaculate Heart throughout the world. I promise salvation to whoever embraces it. So this is obviously, again, a demonic manifestation. It's not promoting Jesus, saying that Jesus wants to make this apparition known and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What the heck is that? You know, it's just, I don't get these things. You know, you see some of these church names, you know, the Church of the Immaculate Heart. What? You know, sheesh. Here's the final quote I'm going to read. Sacrifice yourselves for sinners and say often to Jesus, especially whenever you make sacrifice, O Jesus, it is for the love of thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Whoa. So now the apparition is saying that you can sin against the apparition itself and that you need to make reparations. Well, let me tell you, the reparation of sin is by works. This is demonic doctrine. The fact that the Roman Catholic Church says these are officially really Mary just demonstrates that the Roman Catholic Church is apostate. It can't even see past its own heretical nose. It's a false church. So there you go. That's that information. Let's just jump right online. Who's next? Let's get to Vincent from Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, sir?
By God's grace, doing all right. What do you got, man?
Yeah, well, I'm a devout Christian, and I'm an excellent preacher. You know, he's a great biblical, doctrinally sound man. But the institution of preaching, I'm just curious if you think that it's doctrinally sound. I mean, there's no biblical precedent for a sole professional preacher, someone who just gets paid to go on a pulpit and preach. You know, Paul, for instance, was a tent maker, and I just see him from a lot of instances, talking with my friends and fellow believers, that I feel like it gives a lot more, too much dependency on one person within the church, opposed to, you know, a group of elders that should each, you know, or multiple teachers.
Well, the Bible says, let the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. That's 1 Timothy 5:17-18. So the elder who preaches and teaches, who are in control, so to speak, of the church, what's going on and ruling in that, the context is that worthy of double honor, and it's in context of money. So they are worthy of being supported by the work that they do. Paul was a tent maker because Christ had just been risen and ascended. The Roman Empire was still teaching Caesaropapism, emperor worship. The Jews were out to kill the Christians, and the Christian church was scattered and under persecution. So you don't see a full-time vocation job of a preacher simply because of historical context. So when people say, oh, this is how the right way to do it, he's got to be a tent maker, it doesn't say that. It just says he was a tent maker. You know, he made a living because he had to. But there's nothing wrong with working full-time in ministry. A lot of people don't know, and I've been a pastor, they don't know that you work long hours. And I've had people tell me, for example, in the ministry that I run, karm.org, I work 50, 60-hour weeks. And they'll say, I need to get a job and support myself instead of working, you know, getting money out of Karm. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'd be working 100 hours a week then, you know, and yet they have no problem working 30, 40 hours a week and not giving any support. You know, people have a convoluted idea of what it means to be in ministry and what they think the responsibility of the pastor is. So if you find a pastor who's really a good preacher, teacher, and he's the senior elder, that's fine. What if you have a church of 30 people? Well, you can have eight elders. No, you, generally speaking, it's one elder, generally. And if it's a new church plant, then you don't have time immediately to raise up elders, which might take 6 months, 2 years, who knows. So you have one elder who works hard, who's trying to make a living, and he might work at a job on the side, or he might work full-time in that ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. So it just depends on the circumstances and what's going on. Okay.
All right. Well, you answered my question perfectly. Thank you so much, sir. By the way, I love what you do. Listen to you all the time.
Good.
And thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Amen. Praise God, buddy. I appreciate that.
All right. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. God bless. All right. That was Vince from Raleigh. I like saying Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't know why, but I do like saying that. Let's get to Cody from Beaumont, Texas. Hey, Cody. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Matt?
By God's grace, I'm doing okay. What do you got?
Ah, great. I had a question on 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
You got a lot of background noise. It's hard to hear you. Are you able to move away from the background noise?
Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you very much.
Okay. What I have is 1 Corinthians 7, 36 through 38.
Okay.
And I know in the NASB, it says young daughter or virgin daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to like an ESV translation, it'll say betrothed. I've had differences with a brother on this verse in regards to who is giving away the virgin. Is it pertaining to the father giving his daughter away? Or is it pertaining to fiance, the husband, or soon-to-be husband, marrying his fiance or not?
Well, the Greek word is parthenon, which means virgin. And so,
okay,
you know, I that's why I always go with the NASB. It's just more literal, particularly in the Greek. And so, if any man, it, mm-hmm. presumably what it is dealing with a father who is not acting properly towards his virgin daughter in the issue of marriage. Generally, in the culture, what was going on there, marriages were arranged, and people were married really early. So often, but way before they were 20. They were often betrothed, families mm-hmm. would arrange things. It was just accepted how it was done. People may or may not like it, but that's irrelevant. So if, generally, if any man thinks he's acting unbecomingly towards his virgin daughter, if she is past her youth, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let her marry. And so it seems to be what's going on there is that he should not forbid her from marrying if the circumstance and the want and the desire and the need are there. That he should not say no. Of course, that's not to say that, it's, you know, mm-hmm. marry some bad guy, you know, and he says no. But that seems to be what's going
yeah.
on there.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, would you, since the ESV does not say virgin daughter, would you warn people away from the ESV?
No.
Off of that translation difference?
No, what I would okay. say is get the ESV, the NASB, and maybe the King James, and just go through those and compare them. I find
yeah.
in the Greek, I find New Testament, I find the NASB to be better, but not always in the Old Testament. Sometimes other versions do better translations, in my opinion, than some areas of the NASB. No translation is perfect.
Sure.
But it does say towards his virgin. Yeah. Towards his virgin what? His virgin wife? That wouldn't make any sense. It most probably is virgin daughter, which mm-hmm. is why the NASB puts daughter in italics because of the implication there. And okay. I do believe it's in the feminine. The word virgin is in the feminine, so we're talking about a daughter. So, hey, hold on. We'll be right back after these okay. messages, folks. Stay tuned.
Harvest America Moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
I read an article the other day that said millennials are turning from organized religion and they're replacing it with pizza, push-ups, and profound digital connections. And this article pointed out that instead of going to church, a lot of millennials go to the gym. Others are not going to church and they go get pizza. A couple guys that were interviewed said, we call it church and we have profound conversations over pizza. And then Mark Zuckerberg, he said that Facebook is filling the void left by organized religion. But, you know, I'm not a religious person. I am a Jesus person. For me, it's all about a relationship.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
If it's true that God's word is living and active, how do you put it to work right now? James McDonald believes it's up to you. So listen up.
You put off the old and you put on the new. I used to be fearful and anxious and uptight and sleepless, but I've been putting that off. And now I'm trusting and resting. Okay, something's got to go. Something's got to come in its place. Change isn't like I used to be lustful, substance abusive, and now I'm nothing. There's no nothing, man. You got to put on the new to get off the old. That's biblical change.
Listen Up is a production of Walk in the Word, a ministry that's all about igniting passion in the people of God through the proclamation of truth. For Bible study resources and more, go to jamesmcdonald.com.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What if I told you that a tornado was going to happen tomorrow, right where you live? Touchdown at exactly 3:17 p.m. and I told you the exact path it would take. You would, of course, prepare. You would talk with your loved ones and you'd make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a tornado will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you have a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Cody, you're still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I was saying that the word Parthenon in the Greek there is of the feminine gender. Now, Greek is different than English in that almost every single noun has gender to it. So we have occasionally things like that, girl, girls. Boy, boys, we have certain words that have plurality and gender in them. But in Greek, every noun does, and the word here in Greek is feminine. And so it's singular feminine, so that the Christian, the virgin daughter. But also don't forget, 1 Corinthians 7:26 is really important because it gives a context of a lot of the stuff dealing with marriage and stuff. And it's, I think then that is good in view of the present distress. It is good for a man to remain as he is. So it looks like the Christians were undergoing present distress because of their Christian faith and what was going on. Christians were becoming persecuted. And so it's better not to marry in that context because now you have more responsibility. So it looks like this is part and parcel of what's going on later on in verse 36. You know, don't require marriage. Don't prevent marriage in the present situation of what you are, that kind of a thing. It does have some bearing on it. Okay.
Yes.
That helps?
Yeah, I appreciate that answer.
All right.
Yes, sir. And I actually use the ESV, the NASB, and the CSB. And I've just kind of gone back and forth, actually.
Well,
my ministry partner and I have gone back and forth with brother.
Well, try this.
It's caused. Sorry?
Try this. Go to Romans 5:18 and compare the NASB with the other ones. And I'll give you a hint. The NASB has it right, and the other ones don't. study it, see what you learn, and then call me back and I'll explain. Okay?
Yeah.
Romans,
that'd be great.
Serious. Romans 5:18. Oh, okay. All right, man. God bless.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye.
I think we might have a little bit of a lag or something. I'm going to talk over them, but it kind of happens. All right, let's jump on to, I guess it's Blake from Arizona. Blake, how are you?
Good, sir. Good to be on. How are you, Mr. Slick?
Mr. Slick, that just doesn't sound good on the radio. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. What do you got?
I've been emailing with a pastor who has a public ministry. He says he has a church in Ohio and a YouTube channel. And I think he's Oneness Pentecostal, although he says all this stuff about denying denomination. If I could read you a sentence or two of what he thinks about denominations.
Okay.
He calls himself a Holy Ghost-filled Christian, and he says every denomination has, based upon their statements or bylaws that trump Scripture, and he doesn't ask believers to denominate.
Well, I had to love to see that quote. There's nothing wrong with Christian denominations. Romans 14, to a degree, Romans 14, 1 through 12 says that we can have differences of opinions on debatable issues. So you might have someone who is reformed in their theology, and someone who's not, someone who believes in charismatic gifts, someone who's not. And so I can see why there would be a few denominational differences and leanings over the major issues, like spiritual gifts or not spiritual gifts, or pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, where you kind of collect. I think the best way to do it is just leave it alone and not be denominationally divided. And I think that he's onto something in that respect. However, a lot of times what I've seen over the years that when people start knocking denominations, it's usually because they have their own little denominational issue they want to promote. They do it at the expense of others. They'll say, look at those denominations. See how divided they are? We have the truth. And they don't realize they're actually being what they are criticizing. And so without knowing the full context of what he's saying, I really can't comment further than that, other than to say that that's a warning flag I always kind of pay attention to, see if it's present in somebody like that.
Yeah, your gut instinct is correct, because we're having this exchange based on his anti-Trinity videos.
Ah, and what's this guy's name?
His name is Jesse Smith of Ohio. His church is called Bride of Christ.
Okay, and he's denying the Trinity. All right. Christ, well, okay. So, okay. So what we believe, let's see, go and check it out. This is live. One indivisible spirit who eternally exists as one person. Yeah, he's a heretic. Done.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, he's a heretic. And so three divine ordinances, water baptism, feet washing, okay, in the name of the Lord Jesus, okay. So baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, so he's got that wrong. And so I'm sure
is
he teaches
oneness.
Yeah, he's oneness. He's oneness. So far, okay. He's oneness. Predestination, the Bible teaches that, oh, check this out. Wow, that's weird. The Bible teaches that all men are predestined or ordained for eternal life, or eternal separation from God, based on the foreknowledge of God. Ugh. Jeez. Yeah, he was going well there, and then he messed up.
What do you say, based on the foreknowledge of what?
Of God. The typical response of people about predestination is that what they'll say, they don't like the idea of God being sovereign and God calling people according to his will, not our will. So what they do is they imply that God knows what people are going to freely choose, and so he reacts to his foreseen knowledge of what they're going to choose and then chooses them or predestines them based on what he sees they're going to do. But that's heresy.
Yeah, is that Molinism?
No. A form of Molinism, yes, it is, and counterfactuals and things like that. The problem, when it goes with Molinism, and particularly with this, is that it means that God is choosing them based on foreseen conditions, under certain conditions, which then is a meritorious thing that warrants the favor of God, and that's heresy. It's a flat-out heresy.
What distinguishes Molinism from that?
Well, depending on how this guy wants to go and what Molinists say, because I'm going to tell you, I've studied Molinism a lot, and there are different views within Molinistic thought. And so I can't say all of them teach such and such. However, they do teach that what I've seen is that God knows what might happen, what could happen, and what he's ordained to happen. And he knows what's called counterfactuals. He knows what would happen if people were in different circumstances. And therefore, knowing all of those, he chooses a particular outcome that he desires. Now, that to me is heretical. It's heresy. Because what it means is that God knows what a person's going to do under a certain circumstance and then chooses a circumstance based on what he sees they're going to freely do. Well, that means that God is reactionary to them. It means that God looks and does things based on what he foresees will occur, well, chances, free will options of men in the future, men and women in the future. And furthermore, he chooses certain circumstances to become actual based on what he foresees it will do in what's called counterfactuals, things that may or may not exist. He knows what will happen in different situations, counterfactuals. So he chooses what he will actualize out of a set of counterfactuals based upon different circumstances that they're going to choose in the future. That means that he's saving them based on what he foresees, and that is meritorious work. So I think Molinism is heretical based on this. Plus, since we're getting into Molinism a little bit more, it posits prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the grace that comes before and enables someone to freely believe or not believe in God. Well, why does Bob believe with prevenient grace and Frank does not believe with prevenient grace? Why? Because they're free will. Why does Bob's free will enable him and Frank's free will does not? Because that's the way they're made. Wait a minute. It doesn't answer the question. It's circular. And so I think that Molinism in this respect is heretical. And it's similar to what this guy is saying in that God's foreknowledge of what will happen and God predestines them based on the foreknowledge, which basically is identical to what I just said. Molinism, both of them to me are heretical in my view.
While we're on Molinism, does Molinism tie into Pelagianism or vice versa?
Semi-Pelagianism. Because semi-Pelagianism would say that man is not as bad as he can be, but he's touched by sin, but he still has the light of God within him sufficiently that all he needs is the gospel, and he'll be freely able, with God's prevenient grace, to be able to choose God. Where the Bible says that no one can come to him unless it's been granted from the Father, John 6:65, that the unbeliever cannot receive spiritual things, 1 Corinthians 2:14. So the idea of prevenient grace and such is counter-scriptural.
All right. If it's okay to go on.
I have callers waiting. This is a great topic. Call back tomorrow. We'll spend a little bit more time at the beginning of the show. How's that? Because people are waiting. I want to get to them. All right.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Please call back, man. We have some good conversations. God bless. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Good. And let's get there we go. Now we'll get the next longest caller is Leroy from Winston-Salem. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
By God's grace, hanging in there. What do you got, man?
That's great. You know, I surely hope that I'm wrong, that I misheard you, I misunderstood or something.
Okay.
But I heard you say that the denomination of Pentecostalism is a cult?
No, I didn't. United Pentecostal is a cult. But there are Pentecostal...
Oh, I am so glad.
No problem.
I'm so glad you cleared it up for me, brother. Thank you very much. God bless you and love your show. I mean, I had so much faith in Jimmy Swaggart and his ministry, and that I thought they had a pretty good idea of how discerning falsehood from what is true. And I'm so glad that I misheard you, Max.
Okay, well, let me tell you, I don't recommend Jimmy Swaggart, and I don't recommend Paula White. I recommend you stay with
me. I accept his word and his teaching. I do. I thank you very much. Thank you, and God bless.
All right. Okay, well, God bless. Hey, I love it when people call up to check out what I've said to make sure it's true or not true. That's the way to do it. Good for him. Let's get to Christopher from Orange, Texas. Hey, what's your favorite color?
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going, man. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. What do you got?
Awesome. Okay, door-to-door ministry. A brother of mine just started a ministry this past Saturday, and wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, you've been doing this a long time, time of day, time of week, and also when introducing yourself, you know, I would just like to hear from you because you've done this and what your, how you apply evangelism and apologetics together.
Well, you know, if I had time, I'd tell you about my very first door-to-door experience, and it's really quite an interesting story. So if someone calls me up tomorrow and wants to hear about it, you'll love the story. You won't believe what happened. But you go door-to-door, you got to pray, you got to trust God, and you say whatever you think is necessary at that time. I used to go on Saturdays because Saturdays were people were home and freer. In the evenings, they get home from work, they generally don't want to be bothered. Cults go out on Saturdays as well. You know, you can go do that. Just trust God to give you the word and be polite and just trust that, you know, that he'll give you the words at the right time. We don't have to have every answer all the time. Just go. I say just trust and go. Trust and go. And if you feel led to do that, I've done door to door. I've dressed up as a punker, went down to the beach, witnessed to the punkers. I've gone to prison ministries. I've done radio. I've done internet. I've done chat rooms. I've done, I witnessed car to car, you know, everything I can think of, in stores, the whole bit. Hey, there's the music. We got to go, buddy. Sorry about that. Hey, folks, we are out of time.
God bless.
God bless. We're out of time. The Lord bless you all. And by his grace, be back on the air tomorrow. And hopefully we'll talk to you then. We'll see ya. Bye.